Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Marital Rescue Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, here's a letter we got from someone named John Steffi from Pennsylvania. You ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Dear guys, I'm writing to thank you for your podcast, which presented me with a fantastic opportunity. My wife constantly complained that I couldn't do anything mechanical. I'm a CPA, for Pete's sake. What did she expect? Anyhow, my local NPR station repeats your show the following weekend. So one week, I got a brilliant idea. You can see it coming, right?
Yeah.
I listened to the podcast, wrote down all of the questions, and of course, all of your answers. Then I studied the list endlessly until I had committed it to memory. Got it?
I see.
Then I made sure we were in the car together when the repeat of your show aired. I casually tuned into the broadcast. She rolled her eyes and gave me that exasperated look that she got every time I walked through the house with a power tool. I nailed the first question.
Of course.
Telling my wife it sounded like the caller needed new ball joints. She told me I just got lucky. Then I properly diagnosed a new starter, a slipping transmission, and every other problem for the rest of the show. She was amazed and immediately showed me a renewed amount of respect.
He kind of overdid it a little bit.
Isn't that great?
Didn't he?
Of course, she ended up divorcing me a few years later. Anyhow, but I wanted to thank you guys for giving me most likely another 3 or 4 years with her before she came to the conclusion I was a complete loser. And left me for an unemployed former bait shop owner with a significant family trust fund. Sincerely, John Steffi.
Wow. Wait a minute. I thought you said that this letter was from the Marital Rescue Department. We didn't rescue him. He got dumped for a guy who sold worms.
Well, we gave him 3 or 4 years. What do I look like, Dr. Roots? What do you want?
You look more like Dr. Zorba, actually. Well, anyway, sorry, John. If you want us to try
it's
to rescue...
It's not funny.
No, it isn't funny. But if you want us to try to rescue your car, or well, maybe give you an extra 3 or 4 days, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi. Aren't you a bubbly person?
My name is Shauna. I'm calling from Franklin, Tennessee.
S-H-A-W-N-A?
S-H-A-U-N-A.
So yours is like sauna with an H.
Yeah, exactly.
And whereabouts in Tennessee?
Franklin.
Franklin, okay.
Where's that?
Yeah, it's just south of Nashville.
His next question is, where's that?
West Tennessee.
Anyway, Shauna, what can we do for you?
Okay, I have a car. It's an 87 Toyota Camry. It has 360,000 miles on it.
Wow, good for
you. Wow.
Yeah. And so, okay, it's been making this grinding noise whenever you start it up. It always starts up, but sometimes you have to try it like 7, 8, 10 times, whatever.
Oh, so when you turn
the key, it goes...
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
So, okay, I know, or I've been told that it's the starter. Okay, but it's been doing this for about 3 years.
I think they're wrong, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think it is?
I think it's the flywheel.
Really?
And the flywheel is the
toothed.
T-O-O-T-H-E-D.
E-D.
The toothed gear that the starter gear engages. So when you turn the key to start an engine,
okay,
there's a gear on the starter motor shaft that gets pushed out by something called the starter drive and engages this very large gear, which is part of the flywheel.
Okay.
So what's happening is you are hitting a bad spot on that flywheel.
Okay.
It doesn't do it all the time, right?
Right, not all the time.
No.
Right.
So it depends on where
the gears are.
Depends on
where
the missing teeth wind up when you shut the key off.
Okay.
So there may be 100 teeth on that flywheel, and there may be 3 of them
that
are chewed up. So you've got a 3% chance of having the thing not start.
It's probably more like 20.
Maybe. 20. All right, so you may have 20, or you may have a couple of spots where there are chipped teeth.
You may only have 3 good ones.
Like my brother.
If it happens every day.
Yeah, so eventually you're going to get down to 3 good ones, and it's going to start 3% of the time. And your mechanic can figure this out. I don't imagine you're eager to spend a lot of money on this car.
No, the thing is, I want a new car, but this car won't die.
Yeah.
Oh, we know people who can arrange that, though.
And my husband won't let me get a new car until this car dies. So I want to know, when is this car going to die, for real? It's been 3 years.
Oh, so you'd like to give it the equivalent of two in the hat. Well, there are lots of things you could do to kill the car, but I wouldn't feel...
You should never do that.
No, I wouldn't feel morally right in
suggesting...
It's going to
die of natural causes.
Right, like lack of oil. Right. So it must burn a little bit of oil.
Oh, yeah, it does.
So
it
what
does.
If you were to forget to add oil to it? Do you feel morally okay with that?
Would I would feel morally okay with that.
You would?
Because
wait,
I want a new car.
Wait, I have a deeper question.
Okay.
What does it matter what your husband wants to do?
I don't think I'll tell him you told me that.
Well, I mean, I've had more wives than I want to even think about, but they never cared what I said.
Well, that's why had more wives.
That explains a lot.
I mean, I was trying to envision one of them calling us, saying the same thing that you just said, and I couldn't even imagine it.
I suspect that Shauna and her husband have a relationship that is built on
something more than mine.
Yeah. Some kind of give and take.
Yes.
Yeah. Mutual respect and affection and, you know.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, so maybe your husband has considerable input here, but you must have some, too.
I do.
Yeah.
But I still want a new car. And you know, with that old of a car and that many miles, you know, we're not going to get anything for it to trade it in.
Oh, no.
You know, so you just kind of have to drive it till you can't drive it anymore.
You could donate this car, obviously. You know,
I could.
You know, you could. You could donate it to our vehicle donation program, you know.
I mean, someone who...
Which helps the very station that you listen to in Franklin, Tennessee.
Ah, yes.
Ah, okay. They may want my car with $360,000 on it.
Well, yeah, they'll take it. I mean, it may, you know, they may sell it for parts. It may wind up at a trade school. That's another thing you could do with it.
Oh. This would be a great job for the students there.
So how much would it cost to get this flywheel fixed? It's not
well,
worth
in order
it, right?
To, in order to fix this, this is an automatic transmission.
No, it's a standard.
It's a standard. Oh, really?
Oh, a standard.
Well, yeah, I can drive a stick shift.
Yeah,
it's easier.
They'll pull the transmission out, and they'll replace that gear, and then you might as well put a clutch in it while you're in there.
Might as well.
You might as well, because you'd be good for another 300,000 miles. And then...
Oh, no, please don't tell me that.
And, you know, and you're probably going to spend, I don't know what labor rates are in Franklin, Tennessee, but I would imagine you're going to spend $600 or $700 or $800 to do this.
That's more than what we paid for the car.
Okay, so that's out of the question.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is a new car or a new used car what you're looking at?
Oh, new used.
Why don't you try to get something really new, like maybe an 89 Camry with 250,000 on it? Well, how many miles did this have on it when you got it?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. We've had it for 5 years.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, if the car runs well,
uh-huh.
It's not absurd to put $500 or $600 into fixing it.
Oh, I mean, everything else is fine. I mean, it leaks oil, but, you know, it's old. So, I mean, really, it's fine. The air conditioning doesn't work. And I know, you know, maybe that's vain, but it's Tennessee.
Yeah, you're going to need it in Tennessee.
And I have to transport children for my work, and, you know, that's just terrible.
Yeah, well, you know, if you bought a used car, the air conditioning could conk out on that as well. So, you know, you might have to spend $1,000 to fix this car all up, including the air conditioning, but it might be worth it.
You think so?
No.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say it.
Yeah, no, it probably is. I mean, with 360,000 miles, you know that everything else is going to break.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's a wonder that it has lasted this long. That's a lot of miles.
I know.
Yeah, I would just be a little less diligent about checking the oil, and whatever happens, Shauna, happens. You didn't hear it here, but you do what you think is best.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks.
Oh, boy. Hey, your husband's online too, I think. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's John Serwinski from Bristol, Connecticut.
Hi, John.
Hey, how are you guys?
Not bad. What's going on?
I have a 95 Subaru Legacy, and whenever it gets to about half a tank, the gauge goes all the way down to empty, below empty, and then it fluctuates in between, and I never really know how much gas I have.
It just suddenly goes all the way to empty?
All the way to empty, and then it'll swing back up somewhere in between, and it keeps going around.
Oh, this is an all-wheel drive Legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I believe this has a tank that straddles the drive shaft.
Yeah.
You know, so the drive shaft for the rear wheels goes, like, basically through the tank. So I believe you have two gas tank sending units in that tank, one for the left side of the tank and one for the right. So when part of the gas gets used up on one side, the other gauge isn't working. So one of your sending units is off.
So what it's doing is when it should be on the left side, it's telling you what's in the right side, which is nothing.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you want to fix this, it's going to cost you some big bucks because you're going to have to take the tank down. And probably, if you're going to do it, you might as well replace both of these sending units.
Yeah, I'm a college student. I don't think I'm going to do that.
No, here's what you do.
Have you ever run out of gas because of this?
One time I had thought I'd run out of gas. I was completely empty, and then I put $10 in, and I was at 3/4 of a tank. So I really don't know how much gas I have, which is kind of what worries me.
Well, but here's what you do know. You do know that this thing probably gets 25 miles to the gallon.
Right.
On average. So you can begin to use your trip odometer. So you fill the tank up today, and you set your trip odometer to zero. And when it gets to, I don't know, 250 miles, 300 miles, it's time to fill up again.
Okay.
Right? So you can disregard the gas gauge. If you're a college student,
you got more important things to do.
Put some black tape over that puppy so you won't even be, you know, tempted to look at it. Just block it out of your mind completely, John, and use the trip odometer. And if you're getting 25 miles to the gallon, when you've used 10 gallons of gas, you've gone 250 miles.
Yeah.
And the tank holds much more than that. So when you get to 250, 300, it's time to start thinking about refueling.
All running out of gas.
All running out of gas, exactly.
Yeah. The black tape works very well. My brother used it very effectively on his Dodge van when he didn't want to know how hot the engine was getting.
That's true.
And you don't want to know about it either. You just want to keep driving.
Right.
There you go. See you, John.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care. 888 car.
The value of black tape, isn't it?
Something? Oh, it's a
wonderful invention.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Eric from San Diego.
Hey, Eric, what's going on, man?
Hey, I've got a 1995 Toyota Camry that I took in to check out a CV boot just to a local shop. And while it was up, the guy noticed that I had a leak in my intake gasket. He told me $400 or $500 later he could switch it out. So I went for it, and I got it replaced. And I drive the car home. Next day, I start it up, and I look in my rearview mirror, and there's a big plume of smoke coming out. And it was just one sudden burst of smoke, and it seems to happen every time I drive the car, let it sit for a few hours, and then start it up again, a plume of smoke comes out.
What color?
I would say it's not blue, it's not black, it's like a grayish white.
This manifold leak that you had, what was it leaking?
It was leaking motor oil, and it was really minor. It was dripping. He said my ball joints and stuff would wear out if enough oil got around in my motor, so I just went ahead and fixed it.
Huh?
Yeah.
What language was that?
Was his boat parked next to the garage, or was it behind the garage?
Or was it in the water?
Yeah.
Well,
did he have the boat shoes on?
Was he ready to go? And
the little Greek fisherman's cap. Those are dead giveaways sometimes. Yeah, I mean, if you had a little leak that wasn't causing any hardship.
I should have left it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I know it now. I know it now. And
so you spent $400 to fix this manifold leak.
Yes, sir.
Which, by the way, is probably fixed.
Right.
And what else did you do?
That's it. I drove it home, and now every time I wake up in the morning, start my car, a plume of smoke comes out. I took it back to the place, and they said now that they've sealed the top part of my motor, oil's being pressurized down to another area.
Ah!
Doesn't make sense to me.
No,
it doesn't make sense.
Was he whistling? Oh, God. Well, you know, it may be completely unrelated to what he did.
Okay.
You may have now a blown head gasket.
Mm. Oh.
And the only way to ascertain if you have a blown head gasket is to have a test done. But I wouldn't have. His explanation was bogus, by the way, about the pressure and all that.
Yeah.
Take it to some other shop, leave it overnight. What they will do is they'll run the engine and get it hot and pressurize the cooling system and try to maximize the amount of coolant. What I think is happening is coolant is getting into one of the cylinders.
Oh.
So if they pressurize the system with the engine hot and then let it sit overnight, they might be able to get enough coolant in one of the cylinders so that the engine will hydrolock.
Okay.
So when they turn the key to start, it'll go,
it won't go because it's full of fluid.
Right. Oh.
And the way to get that fluid out then is to take the spark plug out and blow it out. And if that's the test and it fails that test, then you need to have the head gasket replaced.
Okay. Okay. I mean, when I looked at my motor, when I picked up the car, the guy was missing hose clamps and stuff. He had to go to the shop, pull out more tools, and screw stuff in. I was like, that can't be right. I know that wasn't like that when I left the car.
Yeah. So he was heading right down to the marina, man. His thoughts were on the high seas. He was whistling that sailor's hornpipe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time, Tom and Ray. You guys are awesome. I've been listening to you guys for years, and I'll keep on listening.
Good luck, Eric. Call us when you get the new car.
I will. Have a good day, guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Time for me to ask if you remember last week's puzzler.
No, I'm sorry. It seems to have slipped my mind.
Your mind's like wet tile. Everything slips right off of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, remind me. I mean, I don't remember. Remind me.
Well, last week's puzzle was from my high cholesterol series. It was about the cost of omelets.
The cost of omelets. Breakfast special or a la carte?
You'll see. Stay tuned, and I'll have the whole story.
And we'll have more of your car questions in just a minute.
We're stuck at the junction. Petticoat Junction. Our axle needs straightening. Our tires need rotating. We are trying to be good girls, not meander and roam, but we find it hard to drive straight home. Got trouble with the steering wheel. Sometimes end up in a clearing. Now a handsome tow truck driver calls us on the phone. We were trying just to drive straight home. Drive straight home, drive straight home. We want to drive straight to you. Oh boy, we do try to come straight home. No lie, but the car is so untrue.
And even though the NPR board ups its graffiti removal budget every time we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
And this puzzler was designed for kids who are out of school and who need something to keep their minds from shriveling up during the summer. So solving this should be within the reach of almost anybody. Even my brother. Even Berman didn't have to struggle with it. It came in from someone named Lou Gottlieb, and here it is. Everyone knows what an omelet is, right? You scramble the eggs in a bowl and you pour them into a frying pan, and then you put stuff in one side and fold the egg over itself so the stuff is inside, right?
Yeah, I got that. Even I can do that.
Flipping, it's the hard part. Well, I was at a restaurant the other day, and there was a menu that said all of our omelets are made with three eggs.
Uh-huh.
And the first omelet offered was a cheese omelet listed at $7.45. Next, there was a bacon omelet at $7.70, and then a bacon and cheese omelet at
$8.45.
Mm. The question is, what's a plain omelet cost? Just the eggs, no bacon, no cheese, no nothing. Just the eggs and, you know.
$3.
Yeah, well, I guess not everyone got it. Well, you could write an equation, say X equals the eggs, and X plus B plus C equals $8.45, blah, blah, blah. But just think about it for a second. If the cheese...
Oh, that was the missing piece. Think about it.
If the cheese omelet is $7.45 and the bacon and cheese omelet is $8.45, then the bacon must cost $1, right?
Yeah.
The addition of bacon. So now let's go and look at what the bacon omelet was. Well, that's $7.70. So if the
minus
bacon is
a buck,
how much did the eggs cost?
$6.70.
There you go.
See, if I had thought of it for a minute.
See, that's why most of your answers are unencumbered by the thought process. That's where you get yourself in trouble. Do we have a winner?
Yeah. The winner this week is Gerald Pinzino from Homewood, Illinois, and for having his answer selected at random from among the pile of correct answers that we got, Gerald is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our brand new 4-CD set, Field Guide to the North American Wacko.
And there are quite a few callers on this collection that more than qualify for that tag. But it's, you know, it's hard to forget Christy, who years earlier, when she was in college, had borrowed her father's car to drive to a party some 5 hours away, and she melted the engine.
She ran it out of coolant or something, right?
Exactly. Then she gave it back to her father and didn't say anything. And she remained silent a few days later when her father was told he needed a brand new engine. Now, we knew that wasn't good. And she called us because she wanted to know if she should confess to her father after all these years.
And we called him ourselves and ratted her out, the little brat.
Yeah, and it's all here on this collection, Field Guide to the North American Wacko.
Congratulations for being this week's winner, Gerald.
If you have a car question, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Valerie from Rescue, California.
From Rescue? Like Rescue Me?
Like Rescue Me, please.
Where's Rescue?
We are at the base of the Sierra foothills, about an hour away from Tahoe.
Oh, I've been there.
Oh, and what is the strange reason for the name of this place?
You know, I don't really know.
You don't know?
Are there lots of, you know, like, you know, skulls and crossbones?
Yeah. What's so dangerous that you have
the
to
whole
go
place is
there.
It's a desert.
You know, I heard that there was a story that some guy was in a situation, either in a fire or he was drowning or something, and then there was a big team that came and rescued him, and that's why they named it Rescue. But don't quote me on that.
So were you born and raised in Rescue?
No. I've only been here a couple of years.
Oh, okay. So you're excused. Anyway, what's going on, Valerie?
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, see ya. About 6 months ago, I was really ticked off at my husband.
Ah.
And I got into our 1995 Ford F-250 and raced down this country road that we live on and got a bed full of hay because we have some horses. And then I raced back and hit a pothole, and the truck just stopped. I mean, the transmission just stopped. The engine was still going, but the whole transmission just froze up.
What do you mean it said it froze? Did it just like you slammed the brakes on?
No, it just started making this whirring noise.
Yeah, yeah. Remember back now to the first leg of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, by the way, have you patched things up with him?
Oh, yeah.
This didn't help.
No. We're fine. He had to come. We have another Ford F-250, but it's an older one, and he had to come down the road, unload the hay out of the broken truck. And
oh,
put
I'm
it
sure he was just thrilled to do that.
But how did he know you were down there unable to move?
Well, I had my cell phone with
me. So you called him on your cell phone. You said, "Hun."
Not exactly.
And he said, "Who's this?"
I said, "Get your butt down here."
And he said, "I'll be right there." 4 hours later, he showed up. So you offloaded the hay onto his truck.
Right.
And then you towed this one yourselves.
Well, we called a tow truck.
And
yeah.
They towed it to your ranch.
To our property, yes.
Well, here's my best guess.
Okay.
How mad were you?
Was he mad at you, or were you mad at him? Or both?
I was mad at him.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it may be completely...
Wait, what did he do?
You know, I don't remember.
I'm trying to learn something here.
Oh, I'm hopeless.
He and I were talking about it last night. I said, "What was I mad at you for?" He says, "I don't know. I said, I don't know either." So,
well, you know, that's a great kind of argument to have, because when you can't remember, it means you can't hold a grudge.
That's right.
That's good. Anyway.
Where were we?
Here's my guess.
Okay.
I think you ruptured one of the transmission cooler lines.
Okay.
There are metal lines that run from the transmission up to the radiator, and there's a coil inside the radiator that allows that hot transmission fluid to get cooled off by the not-quite-so-hot coolant or antifreeze.
Oh,
you
okay.
Probably broke one of these lines. Don't forget, the thing is 1,000 years old. It could have just fallen off. It could
okay.
have bouncing down the road like you were doing on
she
this.
You did hit a pothole.
Road. You probably hit more than a few potholes. You're probably cursing. God knows what you're doing.
No good.
And you act like you know me.
And maybe you were going a little faster than you should have, and you may have hit something, and just the bouncing may have sheared one of those lines, And while you were driving, you were losing transmission fluid. Until finally you got to the point where you lost enough of it that all that you could get out of the transmission instead of locomotion was a whir.
Right, okay.
So now you may have lunched the transmission, because transmissions don't like to run with very low fluid, and they definitely don't like to run with no fluid.
Right.
Fill it up with transmission fluid. You know, it may take you 5 quarts or so to get some read on how big the leak is.
Okay.
Start the thing up, and you'll see where the leak is. When you see that, shut it off immediately and repair the leak. And you can fix it either by buying a new cooler line from the dealer, or you can just make a line out of rubber hose, at least enough to get you to the repair shop.
Okay.
At that point, fill the thing up with the correct amount of fluid and drive it. If the transmission won't shift, then not only do you need transmission cooler lines, but you need a transmission.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
So no one's looked underneath. I mean, it could be that you put a big honking hole in the transmission with that boulder that you didn't tell us about.
My brother-in-law did look underneath it.
Oh, he did?
He said that it looked okay. And he said it could be something that fell off or something loose or something. So maybe it's what you guys
said. Well, it could be. I mean, there's a possibility that somehow or another the thing shifted into neutral. You know, the linkage came disconnected, and the only whirring you're getting is what you'd get if you were in neutral.
Engine. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Check the fluid.
Okay.
If there's fluid in there, then, you know, it could be that the linkage fell off, and that'd be easy to fix.
Okay.
You know, and bouncing up and down through potholes and hitting boulders, that can do that too.
Yeah.
Just try to keep your emotions in check from now on, Valerie.
I am trying, guys.
All right.
I really am.
Next time, take a pill or something. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 888.
She's an interesting person because
she is.
She can get mad as hell. We know that. But she can laugh at the same time almost.
Yeah, almost. 6 months later. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tom in Seattle, Washington.
Hey, Tom. Hi, what's going on, man?
Well, got kind of a mystery I'm hoping you can help me solve. I have a 99 Porsche Boxster, and I think that the front driver's seat warmer is stuck on, or that there is something else going on, because I feel a very distinct heat in my rear end now when I'm driving.
Well, have you switched over to the non-thermal underwear, or are you still wearing those?
No, I got my what passes for summer attire out of here. The fleece is gone. You know, I've gone straight to Gore-Tex. So I took it into the shop. They took a look at it and said, nope, nothing wrong. You know, everything's fine. You're imagining this. So
they told you that the heater was not on.
They said the heater was not on. They said that if it were on, the switch, you know, there's a light on the little rocker switch, would be on.
Yeah, it would be on. Yeah, that's true.
And it's not.
If the light on the rocker switch is not on, that the heat is not on, and that this is my imagination. And I'm just wondering, is there any way to figure out if there's something actually going on there, or have, for some reason, I developed some
a sensitive butt.
Yeah.
Well, it
doesn't get really hot. It's just a little hot. Is that right?
It's certainly not as hot as if the seat warmer were on full. You know, it's got two settings.
Yeah.
It feels like it's in the low setting, maybe in only the, you know, there's sort of both the back region and the butt region.
Well, here's what I do. Switch to whatever, you know, put a bathing suit on. sit in the car or drive the car around with nothing on. No clothes on. I mean, no switch on.
Okay.
Then turn it on to low.
Okay.
And you should notice a difference between what you had been feeling.
Yeah.
And if in fact he's right, then turning the seat warmer on low position should augment the amount of heat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then turning it on high should make it even more uncomfortable.
Right.
So you should notice three distinct levels, and turning them off should bring you right down. If you can't discern a difference, then maybe you can just unplug the heated seat and see if that fixes it, because it may be coming on irrespective of the little light on the rocker switch.
So is there a fuse for that or something?
There is a fuse. You could take the fuse out.
Okay.
Yep, you could take the fuse out, so that's another possibility.
Yeah.
But I think what's wrong is that maybe the heat you're feeling is coming from your exhaust system.
Okay.
Right? So the exhaust system has in fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a catalytic converter, like, right under your seat.
Yeah,
okay.
And it may be that the heat shield for that has failed, and the heat is coming. That thing gets hot. That thing gets like 1,000 degrees.
All right.
And if that heat is not being deflected by the shield, it's going right into your butt cheeks.
Okay.
And it's uncomfortable.
So if that's the case, is that going to heat right up through my seat into my wallet there?
Well, it might. No, matter of fact, you should. If the thing is missing, in fact, you should get it fixed.
Okay.
You know, because eventually it'll set the carpet on fire. Yeah, but I guess that's what it is. But the easiest thing to do is pull the fuse.
Okay.
And if it really goes away, then this guy at the dealership is wrong. I suspect, however, that he's right, and the heat is coming up because of a missing shield. And
okay.
Your car is old enough to have had one either removed or was making noise. The shop might have removed it, thinking all the noise will go away, and he won't notice that his butt is melting. But you're noticing.
All right.
Good luck, Tom.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. See you. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Julie Moon. I'm from Chemung, New Jersey.
Julie, I hear goats in the background.
You hear my little baby girl
okay.
in the background.
How little is she?
She's 9 months old. She's sitting in a pink bathing suit in a swing right now.
Huh. Whereabouts in New Jersey?
In Chemung.
Chemung.
Yes, it's very fun to say. No one knows where it is.
No, where is it?
It's near Cherry Hill. It's probably about 25 minutes from Philly.
Oh, yeah, we know where you are.
Okay.
So what's cooking, Julie?
Well, I have a 94 Honda Accord, and every time we go around the corner now, since we started using the air, a whole bunch of cold water pours on my feet. If I'm sitting in the passenger side and we turn left, I get a bucket of cold water on my feet. And same thing for the driver's side. My husband thinks it's from the air conditioning.
Yeah, he's right.
Oh, really?
He's
it's
right.
A lot of water, though. Like,
I know.
We've been going straight for a long time. It feels like it's like a whole bottle, like 16 ounces of water dumped on my feet. It's not just like a few trickles. It's a lot.
But it only happens if you've been using the AC. Is that true?
Yeah. If I turn the AC off, then it may be just a little trickle, but
it's not really
there.
Well, your husband's right. It's coming from the AC. Oh, don't you
he's
hate
right?
that? I know. What's it worth you to have a say that he's wrong? So first of all, why did you doubt him when he said it was the AC? What?
He is so smart. I shouldn't have doubted him. It's just it never did that before. I know it's an old car and it's getting older every year, but it's never done that before. It was just a whole lot of water.
So you doubted him because he's been right so many times that you figured the law of averages was in your favor now?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm afraid he's right because there's nothing else that has water in a car.
Right.
Right. I mean, it could have been a leaky windshield, for example. But the thing that produces water is the air conditioner, because the way it conditions the air is it makes the warm air that's in the passenger compartment pass through this thing called an evaporator, which mm-hmm. is a cold coil. And the water, the hot, moist air hits that, and that water condenses, just like, you know, hot, moist air condenses on the outside of your iced tea glass.
Okay.
And that evaporator is in a box, okay, that has a drain on it.
Okay.
And so
what's good about this is that it's relatively easy to fix.
Right.
Okay, that's good news.
Because the drain is plugged up.
And it's underneath the car.
Okay.
So you could go someplace, you know, like to have your oil changed.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have it fixed very easily when they change the oil. They'll just blow out the evaporator drain. And when they do that, some debris will come out. It's probably pollen and God knows what else is in there, some twigs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And once that thing gets blown out, then the water will flow out freely. You'll notice if you park next to any other car whose air conditioner is running, you'll see a puddle of water accumulate mm-hmm. under the car.
Okay.
Your car has no such puddle.
Okay,
your puddle
right.
is accumulating in the car.
In the car
right.
and on your feet.
So in the meantime, until you can get it fixed, I suggest you wear flip-flops.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Good suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, don't wear any expensive shoes. Well, flip-flops are in order, and then when you can get the thing blown out, you can tell them you did it yourself. Say, you know what? I think you're right, hon. It was it is the air conditioner, and I did a little research, and I found out the evaporator drain was plugged in. I blew it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would never believe
never
that.
Believe
in
that. I didn't
years.
Think so. All right, don't lie. It isn't worth it. Good luck, Julie, but that's what it is.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, see you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Good luck. All right, I've got a question for you.
Yeah, well, fire away. You know what I always say. There's no such thing as a dumb question.
That's right. Only dumb answers. We've been demonstrating for a good 40 minutes now, haven't
That's
we?
That's right.
So the question is, are you ready to take a break?
Okay, that's a dumb question. Am I ready to take a break? Me? I was born ready to take a break.
All right. I can believe that. Well, when we come back, what can our listeners look forward to?
Well, when we come back from the break, I'll have a little bit of a verse to share with you all.
Really, a little verse and a lot more car questions when we come back in just a minute. Please stay tuned.
He walked out of his office one day, put on his cap, cocked it just the right way. Told the secretary he was going downtown, gonna take a little spin around. He said he couldn't take it anymore. He turned himself into a big four-door. His kids were crawling up on his back. He turned himself into a black Pontiac. I said, hey! I said, hey!
And even though Corey Flintoff wishes he'd listened to his Aunt Ruth and gone into restorative dentistry whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a little bit of frustrated verse.
Yeah, this note comes from Sue Combs, who writes, I found this poem written 50-plus years ago by my dad, and I thought you'd get a kick out of it. Here it is. Sue's dad was Thomas Anthony Green of Philadelphia and New Orleans, and he wrote this poem called Tom Green's Auto. The Ford is my auto. I shall not want another. It maketh me to lie down beneath it. It soureth my soul. It leadeth me into the paths of ridicule for its name's sake. Yea, though I ride through the valley, I am towed up the hills. Thy rods and thy engine discomfort me. I anoint my tires with patches. My radiator runneth over. I repair blowouts in the presence of my enemies. Surely, if this thing followeth me all the days of my life, I shall dwell in the bug house forever.
Eat your heart out, Emily Dickinson.
You ain't kidding.
Pretty good. Hey, by the way, the Puzzler is on summer vacation.
Yeah.
But if you miss the Puzzler...
I miss it every chance I get.
I know that you do, but if other people genuinely miss the Puzzler, you know, whenever we don't have a new Puzzler on the show, we always post one from our archives on our website, cartalk.com. So you can always find the Puzzler there. In the meantime, if you have a car question, you can call us and puzzle us right now at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, hello. This is George Thompson calling.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm okay.
Where are you calling from, George?
Well, Goshen, Indiana.
Goshen, Indiana. We're with you, brother.
Well, you know, I have a 98 Volvo, and it's an S90. And in the mornings when I crank it up, you know, I hear a noise, and it sounds a little bit like a tornado in the distance. You know, I could try to make it for you if you like.
Yeah. So let us get it straight. You turn the key to start.
It starts up nicely.
Oh, it does start up nicely.
Oh, yes, right.
And then after it starts,
yes,
that's when you hear the noise?
That's right. And it lasts for about a minute.
A minute? Okay, give us the noise.
At the end of the minute, you know, it dies down like that.
So it does it for the first minute that you're running the car.
That's right.
And then you'd never hear it again after that.
No, I occasionally hear it again. It's always after a stop, like a hard stop, you know, like, if you know, the light turns yellow, and so you make sure you stop.
Yeah.
And after I stop, then it may come on for about 15 seconds.
When you stopped or when you start up again?
No, after I've stopped, and it sounds like it's coming from the right side, you know, from the driver's standpoint, you know, to the right in the engine compartment.
So it's coming from the passenger side of the vehicle.
That's right. It's almost as if a fan or something came on that's inside of something.
And how long has this been going on?
Well, see, I bought the car in April from my wife's brother.
Oh, George. Boy, it's going to be an icy Thanksgiving this year. I can see it now. What's his name?
Well, his name is Daryl.
Daryl. Oh, boy. You and Daryl better sit at opposite ends of the table.
You know, we've been pretty good friends,
Yeah.
Well, did he know about this noise when you sold it to you?
Oh, yes. It happened when I cranked it up. You know, he said it's been there for a while, and it's never bothered anything, and it doesn't seem to bother anything now. In fact, I was talking to him about it, and he was the one who suggested that I call you guys.
Oh, sure.
Boy.
Now that we've danced around this a little bit, I do need another sample if you will, of the noise. If you can make the noise or describe the noise as best you can.
You start the car.
Okay, I start the car, and then, you know, a few seconds after the engine has started running, this noise comes on. Again, it sounds a bit like a tornado in the distance, you know.
Yeah. And the pitch doesn't change.
No, it's constant.
Except at the end. It goes down.
As it dies down.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's okay while you're driving it, at least you think. You may be making the noise, but you might not be hearing it.
I think I would hear it if it occurred while I'm driving. I believe I would hear it.
Well, I do have a feeling. I don't know why. I do have a feeling that it has something to do with your motor mounts. And
really?
Not really, no, but...
I don't think so.
Well, I was all set to give you a couple of answers, one of which was a bad power steering pump. But what that doesn't explain is why the noise will come back after an abrupt
stop. Yeah.
Okay, so after a hard stop, some kind of geometry change is taking place. The motor is moving forward because this is an inline six, this car. This is a straight six-cylinder engine. And when you step on the brake, if the motor mounts are in fact weak or one of them is broken, and it's certainly the right age to have a broken motor mount, that the engine could slide forward a little bit, and that could cause some kind of a noise. But where would the noise be coming from? Probably the exhaust system.
Yeah.
So what you're going to have to do, George, go out and buy yourself an asbestos glove. And you're going to have to do some detective work here. I think you need to. If it makes the noise for 30 seconds or a minute after a start, I think you need to have someone else, an assistant, maybe Daryl.
He's in Texas.
Texas. It'll have to be someone else then.
Yeah.
So, or you're going to just jump out of the car.
You jump out of the car with the glove on.
Yeah. And run to the back.
And you run. Well, I'd run to the front dash. I'd open the hood.
Oh, you would.
And I'd grab a hold of the front exhaust pipe right where it connects to the manifold.
Ah.
Yeah, okay.
And I have a feeling that if you grab that thing and you move it, you may be able to change the pitch of the noise.
Oh, I see.
So I think the gasket in front where the front pipe connects to the engine is weak. Or blowing out. Whoa. And then when it heats up, everything's okay. And then when you slam on the brakes, enough changes it separates or opens up. That's the best I can do for you, George.
Okay.
And you've taken up two-thirds of the show. So we have no room for any other callers.
Okay.
But we had to answer your question.
So be it.
Okay, well, I'll try that.
All right.
Try it. Yeah.
All right. Let us know by all means.
I like it. I like it.
Because it may be one of the more harebrained things I come up with, but it's worth a shot.
Okay.
Good luck, George.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Lynn. I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Lynn. One of my favorite towns.
Yes,
mine too.
Well, yeah, I hope so. You live there.
I know. By choice.
What's up, Lynn?
Well, I have a 1995 Honda Odyssey van. My sweet little van has 215,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
She sort of makes this sound that's a whine as I accelerate. When you get past about 40 or 50, and it just goes, like it's trying to downshift. Only it does shift, but that sound remains.
Right. And it's a whining sound. Does the sound immediately go away when it does upshift?
No.
Or does it change?
No.
Will it go away if you back off on the gas pedal?
No.
And it's a whining sound.
Yeah, like if I get on an entrance ramp and I just go, it just goes and stays high pitched.
Is the transmission shifting then?
Yeah.
It sounds to me like, well, if it's going...
like it's trying to shift.
It's trying to shift, but it isn't.
Well, it clunks in the gear. So.
Oh, it does clunk in the gear.
And when it clunks in the gear, the same sound is there still.
Yes, yes.
And the sound doesn't change, and it doesn't change if you take your foot off the gas.
Correct.
Okay, Lynn, I don't know if you... You sitting down?
I'm sitting down. I know. I mean, like, do these things just have a lifespan or what?
Yeah, everything has a lifespan, unfortunately. Yeah. And I think your transmission's lifespan is about to end.
Well, my mechanic, who is just wonderful, thought it might be the front pump.
Oh, the front pump. Yeah, it could be.
Could be?
Yeah, it could be. Could be the front pump. That's part of the transmission.
Okay.
And what I would do first, I mean... he may have done this already, is I would change the transmission fluid. And I'd run it through a machine. We have a machine at our shop. Lots of shops have these things. It basically is a machine that you hook up to the transmission lines, and it runs this old fluid out and at the same time replaces it with brand new fluid, and has the advantage of changing all the fluid, even the fluid that's in the torque converter, which you don't ever get to change if you pull just a drain plug out. I would do that first. You might have some debris in there, and it may be that.
And you got some miles on this thing.
Yeah, you got a lot of miles on it, so it may be that it's on its last legs. I have a 97 Odyssey van.
Don't you love it?
I do love it. Well, I don't know.
Your car's still running?
I don't know.
Did you give it to this week?
My younger son asked one day if he could borrow it. He has this little tutoring business, and he said, gee, I need to tutor some kids that are far out of town. Can I borrow the van for a few weeks? And, of course, you want your kids to succeed in life, right?
That was 2003, I think.
Yeah, that was about 3 years ago. So
he still got it.
So one day recently, he said to me, he said, geez.
He doesn't know where it is, but he still has it.
I needed to move something, and I asked if I could borrow his van, or rather borrow my van. And I got in the thing, and the transmission sounded awful. It was doing the same thing that yours was doing. And I thought, oh, this is it for this transmission. I'm going to have to rebuild it. I did, however, take it into the shop, and I changed the fluid, and it's been fine.
All the noises went away.
Okay.
Yeah, but mine has a lot fewer miles on it.
Fewer miles?
I have half as many miles, but don't forget, my son's been driving it.
Oh, okay.
God knows what he's been doing to it. So I would ask your guy to change the fluid, you know, via the machine, and hope for the best. And if it doesn't do it, you're probably going to need a transmission rebuild.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, Lynn.
That's all right.
But you know what?
I
do it because this thing will run. These are great. These are great vans. And
they are.
I love it so much because it's a great size. And I always feel sad that Honda kept making the thing bigger.
Yeah.
But the original Odyssey was a great size van. And maybe they'll, you know.
Don't worry. They'll be making them smaller pretty soon.
Yeah. And it has, you know, that thing is a 4-cylinder engine, and it'd go all day at 80 if you wanted to.
I know. And they get great gas mileage.
Oh, yeah. I get
like 30. 24, 25.
Oh, I get 30 on the highway with mine.
Oh, wonderful.
When there's a tailwind.
Yeah.
Good luck, Lynn.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there, fellas. This is Vince in Phoenix.
Hey, Vince. What's going on, man?
Well, I have an 02 Xterra. It is giving me trouble when I turn to the right. It turns fine to the left. When I try to turn to the right, it gets real stiff.
When you say stiff, the steering wheel gets stiff?
Yeah, it won't. Yeah, it's acting as if it has no power steering when you turn to the right.
Ah, okay.
I had a guy lift it up, and when there's no weight on it, it turns just fine.
Oh, yeah, sure.
When it's cold, it seems to turn a little better. It turns better at high speeds. And when it's just rained, it turns a little. It doesn't turn as well as it does to the left, but it still turns a little better to the right.
Yeah, well, when it's raining out, there's less friction between the tires and the asphalt. So anything that's wrong is going to be kind of ameliorated by the water.
Okay.
All right. So that's that. When it's and similarly, when it's up in the air and the tires are touching air, it's going to turn real easy.
Yeah.
But the test is when it's being asked to do what it's supposed to do, and that is turn the vehicle, you know, when you're on
to the right.
To the right, yeah. Yeah, you can't make all lefts all the time. That gets to be a drag after a while. I mean, and it turns very easily to the left.
Yeah. Yeah, normally to the left.
I hate to tell you this, but it sounds like the rack and pinion is no good.
I hate to tell you that, but I agree with them.
Oh, this vehicle may not have a rack and pinion. This vehicle has a steering box.
Is that better or worse than the rack and pinion?
Well, it's probably cheap.
It's cheaper.
Cheaper to the labor's less, but the
pieces are less too.
I'm so sure about that. You may be able to find a used one. Yeah, I think that's probably what you need to do.
Hmm.
Yeah, you need to find one at a recycling yard.
Junkyard.
Yeah.
Oh, junkyard, yeah, basically. Yeah. So the guy who looked at it, did he suggest that it might be the steering box?
Yeah, he did. He suggested that it might be the steering box.
Oh, he did. Well,
no, he's right.
We're suggesting it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure if you bought a new one of these, it would cost you well over $1,000.
Yeah,
did he do that too? Did he have the smelling salts handy when he told you that?
No, we just called around and got prices, and I was hoping it wasn't that.
So you get some prices from junkyards?
No, I didn't. I called a couple junkyards, and they said the car was too new. I'm going to try some more.
Yeah, no, a lot of recycling yards have a service where they can actually, you know, get information from other junkyards about who has one and where it is and how much it costs. And they also ship it from their place to the other place.
Or you can come, like, to Cambridge and get one.
Yeah.
Nissenbaum's will have one.
Yeah, or you can... they're actually easy to own a boat. You can find another Xterra and take it off in the parking lot someplace. But I think the cheaper route for you would be to get a used one.
All right?
Good luck. But that's what you're going to need. And you got to fix it because eventually it's going to lock up and not turn to the right at all.
All right.
So good luck, man, and get right on it.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
And in the meantime, wear a football helmet when you drive, just to be on the safe side. See you, Vince. Take care, man. Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
So have I.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David, the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug, the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Little Rock Chicken Stock, Baked Ham Hock, Cheddar Block, Celery Stock, Loin of Croc, and Stuffed Peacock, Round the Clock, Sizzling Walk, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hoyts. Our staff naturalist is Deirdre Oppings. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our Mexican food taster is Don Juan Dos Tacos. Our director of laptop repair is Eustace Hammer. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the sunstroke meter maids in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Yes, we'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 827, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a preview of the new Car Talk cartoon, Click and Clacks as the Wrench Turns, which is airing Wednesday nights on PBS.
Now, the show is actually set in a garage in Cambridge, owned by two brothers who have a radio show at NPR.
Yeah, and these two guys are extremely slothful and lazy, and their customers are always ticked off at them, and we follow them as they come up with one harebrained scheme after another that'll allow them to goof off even more.
And this is pure fiction, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I thought.
For a preview of Click and Clacks as the Wrench Turns, check out our website all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though crash test dummies bang their heads repeatedly against the dashboard whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.